Welcome everybody to Hebrew Club. We are on 2 Samuel chapter 14 after a two-week break and are taking up the story again of David's reconciliation with his son Absalom. And if you will remember, the first eight verses tell us how Joab set this plan in place to have David and Absalom get back together. He hired this clever woman to come and tell a story about how her two sons were fighting and one killed the other one. And rest of the family demanded that the murderer be killed himself in retribution for what he did for the son. And she was coming to the king because would that happen, her husband who had died would be bereft of a name and a remnant in the land. And so she was pleading to David for a solution. So we are about ready to start verse 8, the new paragraph there, and go from there. Okay, so we're at 14, verse 8 of 2 Samuel. Vayomer hamelech el ha'isha, leki leveteik, va'ani atza ve'alaik. And the king said to the woman, leki, come, from halak, feminine singular imperative, go to your house. And I will give a command, give orders. Notice atzavez, just a PL imperfect, concerning you, alike. All right? And probably in your favor, for you. And I will give orders for you. Namely, probably orders in her favor. In other words, he's going to do what she requested. Okay? Verse 9, Vayomer ha'isha ha'tekoit el ha'melech alai adoni ha'melech he'avon ve'al beit avi ve'ha'melech ve'kis'o naki. Then the woman, the Tekoite woman, notice that this is a gentilic. She was from Tekoa, and that eat ending is a feminine gentilic, tells you what country she's from or what place she's from. So the woman, the Tekoite woman, said to the king, on me, Adoni, notice that that's Adoni, my lord. On me, my lord, the king, may ha'avon, may the guilt, see, may be the guilt, and on the house of my father. So you have to supply the verb, see? So we would say, she said to the king, may the guilt be on the house of my father, on me and on the house of my father. See how it's kind of awkward? On me, O Lord the King, may be the guilt, and on the house of my father. Everybody see that?
Is Avon always guilt?
It could be punishment as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sometimes guilt, punishment. Yeah, so it's kind of two sides there, you see, with that word. But the king and his throne, Naki, will be innocent. Naki, all right? So I think she's basically saying there that whatever the king decides, he's going to be innocent. The guilt that comes from whatever decision he makes will be on her. Okay, any questions on those first two verses? Okay, we start a new paragraph. Vayomer ha-melech ha-medaber e-laik va-haveto e-lai velo yosif od laga'at bak. And the king said, okay, now, ha-medaber, this is a PL participle from davar, okay, with the definite article in front of it. The one who speaks is what we would say. So the king said, the one who speaks to you, all right? Hey, Jim, the one who speaks to you. So notice that this is a kind of a circumstantial clause. So let me translate very woodenly, and then we'll kind of smooth it out. The one who speaks to you, comma, haveoti. Notice that this is from the root bo, and it is a hifil vav plus perfect. And bo means to go. Here the hifil means to bring him. So it's the one who speaks to you, and one should bring him to me. All right? So what it's usually translated to mean, smooth it out, if anyone says anything to you. So in other words, he's going to give this order. And I would translate, if anyone says anything to you, he should be brought, or one should bring him. But notice that this is kind of a, in Hebrew, remember, you have these impersonal phrases. The subject is not given. So we would translate it as a passive in English. He should be brought to me. and he will not add, and not will he add again. This is again that hip feel from Yasaf. As soon as you see it, you think there's an infinitive construct coming. And notice the infinitive is lagaat, and that is a call infinitive construct from naga. All right? And remember, so it's kind of a strange form there, from naga, lagaat. So it's kind of formed like a first yod verb almost with the infinitive construct. And not will he add again to touch you. But we would say he will not bother you again. So again, the whole verse. The king said, anyone who speaks to you, he should be brought to me, and he will not bother you again. See, so notice how you have this very common construction with yasaf plus the infinitive construct. You translate the infinitive construct like a full verb. And then the yosif becomes an adverb, again. And notice it's all very often occurs with ode, so it's reinforced, ever again. He won't bother you ever again, maybe. Make sense there? You guys got any questions about that? Yeah, Jim. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I'd have to check and see. There's no note, so I would imagine that it is. I don't know how many times it occurs. Yeah. Okay. Verse 11. I'll actually check that after class just to make sure. Vayomer yizkar nahamelech et Yahweh Eloheka me harbat goel hadam Lashachet, velo yashmidu et bini, vayomer chai Yahweh im yipol misa'arat b'nei kartza. Okay. And she said, yizkor na hamelech. Notice how she uses na as a particle of politeness. Let the king remember, yizkar, let the king remember Yahweh your God. Again, you notice that switch from third person to second person here. You have it. That's just a matter of kind of a Hebrew style way of speaking. Let the king remember Yahweh your God. We would say, let the king remember Yahweh his God. See? So, let the king remember Yahweh your God. Now, this mehar bite, harbat. Look at this form. Notice the meh tells you that that's from the preposition min. And this is a hifil, and it is an infinitive construct from Rava, to be large, to be many. Here it means to increase, to make large. All right. Notice that the pointing at the end, the Masoretes wants you to read it without the yud. So they just want you to read harbat, okay, as the infinitive construct, harbat. The Masoretic text, though, has that yud in it, which notice that you would normally pronounce that as harbit, but that form in the infinitive would be an odd form here. A lot of people think that yud should really be a vav, harbot, which is a common form. All right. The harbat is also used as the infinitive construct. This is a bunch of minutiae to tell you why the pointing looks different than the text, all right? And it means, notice, may the Lord, may the king remember Yahweh your God. And now we would say the min is kind of so as not to increase, the Goel Hadam, the Redeemer of Blood. See, the Blood Avenger, Goel Hadam, Leshachet, so as to destroy. Again, the PL infinitive construct. So as to destroy. Okay? And so, Yashmidu, they will not destroy my son. Okay, so notice, again, it's kind of convoluted. And this whole section gets convoluted, as you will see. But she's basically asking the king to not allow the Goel, the blood avenger, to wipe out her line. Now the line of her husband, her dead husband. So again, let the king remember, let the king please remember Yahweh your God, so as not to increase the Goel Hadam, the blood avenger, so that he destroys. See, and by notice, you, it means so that he destroys the remaining son. Now notice there's a pause there. And so the result will be, and not shall they yashmid, shall they wipe out, shall they destroy my son. Okay, so notice it's kind of convoluted, because you could just construct so as not to destroy my son, but she puts that velo yashmidu in there. So it makes it convoluted from an English standpoint. Now he says, Vayomer Chayahweh, notice the oath formula, as Yahweh lives, Im Yipol. As soon as you see this oath formula, you know Im means certainly not. Certainly not will fall, Yipol, this is a call from Nafal, certainly not will fall, Misa'arite, Sa'arat, certainly will not fall from the hair of your son to the ground. So notice that David now is pledging his protection. Okay. Does that make sense? Everybody see that? Jim?
From the hair, so it's like any of your hair would need
to. Yeah, we would say certainly will not fall a single hair from your son or something like that. That's how we put it in English.
Kind of meant, would you call it
or a privative not. So it's kind of a, you notice that, yeah, not this is what you're saying.
Okay.
Not a hair. Certainly not will fall, not a hair of your son. Yeah, it's something like that, to the ground. And it's the same thing with the min, with the harbit, not increasing, see? Okay, any other questions? Okay, verse 12. Vatomer ha'isha, tedaber na shif chateka el Adoni ha'melech davar. Oh, here it comes. Vayomer daberi. Then the woman said, now notice she uses the particle of politeness, may your handmaid, shif chateka, may your handmaid speak to my lord the king, davar. Something else, a word. Okay? And here he goes, vayomer, and he said, daberi, speak. Okay, again, this is a PL infinitive, imperative, feminine singular. Daberi, speak. Okay? Va tomer ha isha, and the woman said, Velama chashavta kazot al am Elohim. Umidaber hamelech hadavar hazeh ke'ashem levilti hashiv hamelech et nidcho. All right, here we go. Then the woman said, so why have you, chashavta, why have you considered or planned? This is a call, perfect, second masculine singular. The hey at the end of the tav is just a way of spelling. It's a kind of a full spelling. You see that hey a lot. And we've seen it before. Okay. So the woman said, so why have you planned in this way, kazot, like this, against Am Elohim, the people of God? All right. Now, umidaber. Let's look at this form a little. If you will notice the pointing. There's several possibilities, some more likely than others. It could be a hit pael with the tav having assimilated. So it could be a participle hit pael mitdaber. All right. And some suggest that that's what it is, conversing with, to converse with someone else. Some suggest that this is actually, and this makes a lot of sense to me, the PL form, PL participle, that has just been mispointed. All right, a lesser one is that that's the min plus the PL infinitive. See, from speaking again, like we've had before, min daber. But notice it's a strange form. It doesn't occur in this form very often. So again, I'm going to translate it just as speaking, medaber, as if it were a participle, PL participle. Okay. So the woman said, so why have you planned like this against the people of God? When the king speaks, hadavar hazeh, this word, see, hadavar, when this, or we would say when the king speaks in this way, all right, he is, you have to supply the verb, as an ashem. Ashem means guilty. He is like a guilty person. Okay. Lebilti negates, notice, remember an infinitive. So he becomes like a guilty person in that not does the king return et nidcho. This is his banished one. This nidcho is a nifal participle from nadach. The nun has assimilated. Nadach means to push out. All right. So this is a nifal participle. It's used as a noun. One who has been pushed out. So notice he's referring to Absalom. She's referring to Absalom. So the whole verse, again, the woman said, so why have you planned like this against the people of God? And when the king speaks this word, he becomes like a guilty one in the fact that, or in as much as not has he, has the king returned his banished one. Okay, everybody see how that goes? The next verse gets even more weird, so no one's quite sure what it means. But any questions about syntax or anything through 13? Okay, you guys on board here? Okay, verse 14, here we go. Kimot namut vekamaim ha nigarim artza asher lo yeasefu velo yisa Elohim nefesh v'chashav machashavot levilti yidach mimenu nidach. Okay. Notice mot na mut. That's just a simple infinitive absolute followed by a call imperfect. We will die. So ki mot na mut. Certainly we shall die. Okay. In English you might say, certainly we all will die. Okay. Vekamaim, and we are as water, ha nigarim, as water which is poured out. This is again a nifal form from nagar, a nifal participle, modifies water. So certainly we shall all die. And we are like water poured out, artsa, to the ground, which lo ye asefu, which cannot be gathered. Again, notice that that's the nifal imperfect. All right, and notice that it's plural. You know, even mime is plural, so nigarim is plural. Yeah, seifu is plural. I can't guarantee that water is always used with plural verbs, but here you have it. Okay. And okay, so notice what she says. Certainly, we will all die, and we are like water which is poured out to the ground, which cannot be gathered. Okay. So pause there. Now here's where the obscure part comes in. Velo yissa Elohim nefesh. Notice where that's the next thought. And God will not take a life. Okay? God shall not take a life. God will not take a life. Vechashav, but he plans machashavot. But he plans plans. Okay? We can translate, but he makes plans, or but he will make plans. So that not, okay, now let me do the verbs first and translate. Yidach means the same as nadach, but this is from the root dachach. It's a real rare, and there's three roots, nadach, dachach, and dacha, which all mean to thrust away, to push away. So this is actually a nifal form. Yeah, don't worry about it. So this is actually a nifal form, all right, nifal imperfect. And it means to be banished. The subject of that verb is the last word, nidach, which, remember, is the nifal participle from nadach, one who is banished. So the banished one will not be banished. Okay. So the whole phrase goes, but he makes plans so that the one who is banished, the nidach, so that the one who is banished will not be thrust away from him. All right. Now, it can mean two different things. The Jewish Publication Society has a note at the bottom of their translation that says the meaning of this is uncertain, but they think that the woman is saying, if you bring Absalom back from banishment, you aren't going to be punished for it. So they translate it like this: God will not take away the life of one who makes plans so that the one who is banished does not stay banished. Okay, so in other words, it refers to David. She's telling him, hey, God won't take your life for bringing back Absalom. The New American Standard translates like this: yet God will not take away a life, but he plans ways so that a banished one does not stay banished. See, so it's kind of two different things. The two different subjects for Chashav. If you see it as David, it says God will not take away a life when one makes plans so that the banished one does not stay banished. Does that make sense? Or the subject of Chashav is God, but God makes plans so that the one who's banished does not stay banished. All right, so those are kind of the two different things, ways that you'll see it translate. But you can see it's kind of uncertain what she's trying to say to David to convince him to bring Absalom back from where he's been for 3 years in Geshur. Does that make sense? Did everybody see that? Very good. We'll stop here because it's 12:30, actually. And that's enough. It's a mouthful for today. All right? Good. We will continue with this story and see what happens to Absalom. No good, that's what. All right. Thanks very much.